The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's so delightful seeing all of your faces. It's really lovely. I was going to say good afternoon, but I'm aware that some of you are in different time zones, and for some of you it's maybe the morning and some of you the middle of the night. So I will say good time. When we planned this retreat, when Gil and I discussed how we would offer the teachings and our theme for the retreat, we decided that on some of the afternoons at this time that we would offer a reflection rather than a full Dharma talk. And so today, I will offer more of a reflection that follows on some of the themes that we've been talking about, maybe adds a piece, adds a reflection for your exploration. It'll be more like a sitting. I'll talk for some length of time, and then we'll sit together. Probably end the sitting around 4:45. In this theme of clear comprehension, one of the aspects that we've been talking about is the recognition of what's happening, the conscious awareness of experience was a piece that the suttas pointed to. And the recognition in particular around whether an experience is wholesome or unwholesome. And so that might have us kind of with a subtle kind of view, perhaps, that if I don't clearly can't identify what's happening, perhaps, or I can't name it, or I can't say what the experience is, that clear comprehension is not operating and I should do something different or figure out what the experience is. And yet there's an interesting thing that happens in particular as we explore really meeting experience as it is, opening to just what is here, receiving, and in particular with the notion of receiving experience. Sometimes what is being received, what awareness is naturally kind of connecting with or knowing, is not something that we have a good word for or name for or even familiarity with. Sometimes, especially in meditation, as the mindfulness gets more continuous, as there's more stability in the meditation, things arise that we're not so familiar with. Sometimes I've heard people report that, you know, when I pay attention, I don't, you know, nothing's happening, or there are things happening, like when I'm just receiving experience, like there's nothing's happening, or there's kind of stuff happening, you know, but it doesn't feel like, somehow it feels remote. So you might have the experience where there is a sense of receiving experience, and there is sound and sight and body sensations, but all of those things feel pretty distant. It's not really what seems to be most present, but we don't necessarily have a word or a name for what is most present. This can lead the mind to some confusion at times. We can start searching for something that we are more familiar with. Perhaps have the idea or the view that if what is happening is not something I can really identify, then it means that I'm not doing the mindfulness properly. But this is something that does happen for us in our practice. There are definitely times where we are less familiar with the experience that's arising. And the piece I wanted to kind of point to today is that there are, you know, different kinds of objects, we could say, different kinds of experiences that our minds, our senses, and our organism receives. Our system knows how to receive different, radically different kinds of experiences. And I would say that our training, the way that we've lived our lives, the culture that we grow up in, may preference certain kinds of experiences over others. And I'd say that for many of us, it feels like the objects or the experiences that are clearly defined, like a body sensation, a particular sight or sound, these things we know how to be with. We know that they're easily received. They're more easily received. It's like if we go out at night and look up at the sky, if it's not cloudy, we might see the moon, various stars. That tends to be what we orient to. We orient to particular objects. We tend to, in looking around a room, for instance, orient to the objects in the room. You know, the sight, when we open to seeing, we tend to orient to seeing a chair or a lamp or a table or a door. It's less common for us to orient to the spaces between things. Less common for us to recognize what might be, you know, sometimes I call diffuse experience. Things that are not so precise or clearly landed on. In the example of the night sky on a moonless night, You might go out and if you're lucky, you get to see the Milky Way. And that's a more diffuse kind of object. You know, we don't appreciate the Milky Way by zeroing in on the little square of it and saying, oh yeah, that's what the Milky Way is like. The Milky Way is appreciated by a very diffuse kind of seeing. Another example of this diffuseness, just to kind of point to the ways that our system knows how to take in these experiences. We can, they're not unfamiliar to us. If you're outside walking and it starts to rain, the feeling of the drops of water on the skin are kind of precise. It's like that's how we often know it's starting to rain. We feel a drop. You feel a drop land on our skin, and it's very clear, it's very precise. It's like you can draw a little circle around it. That's that experience. But there's another experience that we can sometimes have, and different times of the year or different weather patterns come in. We might go outside at some point and notice the humidity, an experience of humidity, which is more of an experience that hits the whole body. Again, it's not that we know it because of some precise location on our skin. It's much more, we know it by kind of just the feeling of the air in a broader part of our skin, maybe something of the way it feels as we breathe in the air, different quality of that. So there's, it's like more information is letting us know that experience. So it's more diffuse. You don't know it by one precise thing. And in our meditation, there are times that, and in my exploration or in my experience, there are times, especially as the mindfulness gets stronger, perhaps, that the mind starts to be kind of more curious about some of these diffuse experiences. That while you're receiving experience, sometimes the thing that attention is most taking in is something that is not at all precise. It's a state of the mind, a flavor, rather than something we know by, like, clearly identifying. It's like, oh, you know, like, you can't really pin it down. But there's just a sense. There's a lot of these kinds of states. You know, the state of ease, for instance, is like that. A state of concentration can have that quality of being kind of diffuse. There are also diffuse states one of the things that's useful about kind of recognizing diffuse states is that before we really start to get familiar with being aware of these diffuse states, they can be a place that's very easy for the mind to get lost. The mind kind of just kind of floats out into them or has the belief, for instance, around certain states, like, you know, spacing out. Spacing out is a state of mind that is often, you know, kind of vague, diffuse, And it's a state that I would say we habitually are not aware in. And yet the state of mind itself is not inherently non-mindful. And if we have the sense or have a kind of a view or a belief that these diffuse states somehow, or certain kinds of diffuse states in particular, like dullness, sleepiness, fogginess, spaciness, if these states, if we think somehow that they're that they mean that we're not mindful, then we might miss the possibility of learning something about meeting these diffuse states. There's a lot of, as I said, as the mindfulness gets stronger, as the meditation deepens, there does seem to be a kind of a, at times the mind kind of seems to gravitate towards something way more diffuse, like spaciousness or vastness or something like that. And if we're kind of unfamiliar with being with those diffuse states, we can just get lost in them. We might just kind of some of those states are pleasant, and we might just kind of drift out into the pleasantness of it and lose mindfulness. And so there is a way that we can begin to get curious, and this is not something to, you know, go looking for. But if there is a time in your practice where it kind of feels like receiving experience but not really knowing or aware, clear, what that experience is, rather than trying to like identify it or put a label on it or a name on it, or rather than trying to find something that we are familiar with to bring attention to in that place, maybe exploring opening to the unknown there. The experience is something unfamiliar, or the experience is something more diffuse or vague. The experience of spaciness, of sleepiness, of fogginess, of dullness, those kinds of experiences are actually really good places to learn about meeting this kind of experience. Learning the clear comprehension of opening to diffuseness and not needing there to be something clear, precise, specific. Sometimes I think the language that we use about, you know, is the mindfulness clear? That language, clear, and Gil did a nice job of clarifying what clear means this morning. I can't find it. Oh well, maybe later. If we think, or if we're bringing the idea of clear as meaning, I clearly know the object, or it's something I'm already familiar with, I can name it or identify it. If that's the view we're carrying in to clear awareness, then we miss the fact that there can be a lot of clarity, a lot of recognition of understanding of the diffuseness. We can be very clear that we know there's fogginess in the mind. The awareness can be clear. The object may be fuzzy, diffuse. I sometimes give the analogy in talking about this type of experience, because for me this has been a really important exploration, this learning to open to states that are not specific, states that I can't really maybe even name or have a word for. If you're in, so the analogy that I use is, if you're in the bathroom and you're looking at the mirror, you can see yourself reflected in the mirror. You can see the objects in the room. So there's some clarity there. You can see what's being reflected. There's some sense of, yes, I can see what's behind me. But then reflecting on that mirror following a steamy shower, there's fog, there's fog on the mirror, and you're standing in front of the mirror and you can't see, you may see hazy outlines of yourself or of kind of light and shadow behind you. But you don't have the preciseness of knowing the objects in the room. But we do know, based on the way mirrors work, the mirror is actually perfectly reflecting what is right in front of it, and that is every drop of water on the mirror. It's just not doing the job that we want it to do, reflecting me. But it is perfectly reflecting the steam. Every single drop is being perfectly reflected. So the mirror is doing its job perfectly. The mirror is not affected, the reflecting power of the mirror is not affected by the steam. It just reflects what's there. And likewise with some of these diffuse experiences, some of them have that quality of, like, you know, they're so close to, it's almost like they're like the mirror, the drops of water are so close to the reflection that we might confuse the reflecting with the fog. And so sometimes these diffuse experiences, like sleepiness, like dullness, like fogginess, are kind of so close to the awareness that we're attributing the fogginess to the awareness, or we're attributing the spaciness to the awareness. But the mind can be aware of the dullness, of the fogginess, of the spaciness, of the calmness, of the vastness. And so one way for myself into this if there's ever an experience like, you know, oh, I can't meditate while I'm, you know, sleepy or dull or foggy or whatever like that, I just kind of remind myself that the fact that I can even say to myself, I can't meditate while X is happening, means that I'm already aware that X is happening. And so rather than some idea of, so this is kind of asking us to expand our idea or expand our sense of what it means for awareness to receive experience, to let go of our habitual notions of what that means and let awareness show us how it receives spaciousness, fogginess, even sleepiness, tiredness. It's a very relaxed kind of awareness that can receive this diffuse type of experience. Again, it's not something you can decide, oh, I'm going to look at that. That just kind of obscures the experience to try to aim the mind at it. It's much more of a being with that diffuseness than it is a looking at. And so exploring this possibility in your practice of receiving, relaxing, receiving experience, and opening to, especially if it feels like you're not so sure what's being received, opening to this possibility of being with uncertainty, being with something that's not so precise or not so what we typically call clear. Relaxing. Your body and mind. Opening to this too, Gil said this morning, this too. This too, even when this too is something we're not so sure what this is. This too. The Dharma is available. In whatever experience arises. Receiving. Whether that's receiving in a very open way, or whether it's receiving this breath, receiving experience. Willing for unfamiliar experience. To be received. Allowing. and keeping it simple. The mind opens to the unfamiliar with or through simplicity, awareness, a simple awareness. Not complicated with plans or expectations, judgment. And yet, if the mind is complicating things with plans or expectations or judgment, maybe it can be simple. Oh, complication is happening. Simple awareness. A complication is happening.